John Wayne, bang bang, America number one.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we discuss the CNN special report, Atheists, Non-Believers in America. It's pretty good, it's hit or miss, but we really get into it.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-host, Tim Wick.
I am always Tim Wick.
And Nick Glover.
I'm usually Nick Glover.
He's always Nick Glover. Don't listen to him.
You don't know what I do on the internet.
I know what you do all the time.
Terrifying.
Today we are discussing the recent CNN special on Atheists in America.
Atheists in America.
Atheists with a red capital A.
No.
So I don't know if you guys saw it.
It's called Atheists Inside the World of Non-Believers.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about spoilers because if you've listened to our show more than maybe five times, you've probably heard everything they had to say. So
yeah. Nothing new was covered.
Nothing new was covered, but it's not a bad watch. It's only an hour, so it's really, I would say it's good. I would like to discuss what was your overarching take, like what did you feel overall? Like
to me, the show is like it, this is Atheist for people who don't know anything about atheists.
Yes.
It is not a show for atheists.
No.
And I think as an atheist, taking anything particularly personally in that show is kind of bad. To me I felt like they were trying to do a really fair thing about atheists.
Yeah.
Are pretty much just like the rest of us. I mean, that's what I came.
No, it was. It was atheists. They're people too.
I think what you're saying, Molly, about the show is not for atheists. The show is for the majority of United States citizens. It's for Christians mostly.
Yeah.
And I think it was very telling, and kind of the whole theme for the whole show was set with the very first thing they did, which was the very first people they interview, the very first thing that they say. Is they talk to a mom and dad, a Christian mom and dad, whose son has come out as an atheist, and they are pretty much writing him off as dead at this point, more or less.
You don't even know that at the beginning.
And
they just show them saying, like, it breaks our hearts.
In a documentary, in a new special about atheists, the first people they talk to are Christians.
In the editing, yes.
That set the tone for the...
I would agree with that also. My brother Kevin actually posted about it on my wall, and my brother Kevin, they're Catholic. They go to church and everything, but he was offended on my behalf and wrote like, oh man, I know you haven't seen it yet, but like one of the first things they say is like millions of people are losing their faith, and it's like, fuck you, just because you're like, atheism isn't losing something. It's and so he was really mad about that. And my brother he's gone up and down, he's been a self-proclaimed atheist, he's been Christian, he's been everything, and I know that he likes the church and he likes the idea of the community and maybe the religion
stuff
too.
Wife.
And he loves his wife and his wife loves her family. And so it matters a lot to them that they are Catholic. But my brother, I know, also struggles a lot of ideas of religion. So to me, this was almost more for people like him and his wife who are not necessarily non-believers but or not necessarily like true believers either.
Sure. Yeah.
And I thought that it was good for that middle ground of people.
I think the problems I had with it were when they made statements like, atheism is fracturing families.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a kid saying he's an atheist and his parents rejecting him or writing him off or suddenly changing their opinion about him. Atheism didn't cause that. Atheism isn't fracturing the family.
Christianity
is fracturing that family.
It's easier to say Christianity is fracturing.
It's more accurate.
Yeah,
at least.
More accurate. Yeah, when I think about like Jehovah's Witnesses and our friend who had left
James
who left Jehovah's Witness, and basically his family is instructed to pretty much shun him, to shut him out of their lives, and that tends to be religion more than it is atheism, and I think they show that it's like sometimes they showed things that I don't think they said as well, and there's a good example, atheism is fracturing families, but then the son you know, basically says, well, I love my parents. And even when his parents say they're eating dinner with a dead person.
So just to give you guys a quick catch up, this kid, college probably student. 19, 20, I mean, he's college, but he's not a baby. And he is the president of his Georgia school's atheist group or whatever. Yep. And you know, Students for Secular Alliance.
He's got a really unfortunate beard.
He
has a literal neck beard.
He does. Yeah. He has
he's got a chin
beard.
Strap going on.
Yeah,
but
just, anyway.
But he
doesn't wear a fedora or a trilby once.
And
so.
I will say, he came out, and he even says, I came out as an atheist, and he did it when he was 16. So he did it before he left his house. Mm. He could have waited until college, but he didn't.
At least while they were filming this, he still lived with his parents.
Did he?
He lives at college.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so he said, he was saying how he came out as an atheist, and his parents, of course, talked about how they were very godly people and how all they ever wanted for their children was for them to be godly men. And then, you know, the dad turns to his wife and he's like, well, we failed. And she's like, we did. We failed. Yeah. Somewhere along the line, we failed. And they do say,
talking
you know,
to a dead person.
He's dead. You're talking to a dead person. He will, and the reporter says, you know, that's hard for me to hear you say this about your son. I mean, this is your son. How can you feel that way? And the man says,
it's not a matter of me feeling it. The scripture objectively says it's true.
Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't,
it's not what I think.
Always a choice, dude.
You can choose to say, you know what? Whatever the scripture says, he's still my son.
Yeah. And when they show it to the son, they're like, how does that make you feel? And he's like, well, I mean, obviously it makes me feel terrible, but I love them. I would never reject them or say that they're dead or turn away from them because of what they believe. And I think that is the number one difference. And we've said this before, between, you know, I don't know, as much as people want to say asshole atheists or whatever, I don't know any atheists who are like, I won't be friends with you because you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Sure.
And what I said at the time, I had to pause it. We paused it a lot when we were talking, but I was like, you know, if you ask a believer, would you ever be an atheist? Could you ever believe an atheist? They will be like, no, my faith in God is who I am. It's a part of how I'm made. It's fundamental to my personhood and everything. But they can't accept that could be the same way for an atheist.
Yeah.
And we draw parallels all the time to being gay, to being black, you know, in civil rights. But I do think, like, I could pretend to be Christian. I could pretend to have religion.
Sure.
That kid could have pretended to have religion, but he decided he needed to be who he was. And we would... if you ask a Christian person to pretend they don't believe in God, they would say, no, I could never do that.
I'm not
going to
hide my light under a bushel.
I would never deny my God. And they can't see it the other way. They just can't.
Because an atheist is denying their God. But I think the other piece of it is, an atheist, if you ask them that question, you know, could you ever believe in God? You know, the answer would be, if there was convincing proof, sure.
Sure. Yeah.
David Silverman is on this this thing, and one of the things he says is, you know, if Santa Claus shows up in my house one Christmas morning, I'm going to believe in Santa Claus. And his point is that as atheists, we aren't sitting here going, well, screw you, I'm not going to believe in your God, motherfucker. We're saying, look, we need evidence.
It's that Ken Ham, Bill Nye debate. What could possibly change your mind? Well... evidence. And then Ken Ham said nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing could change my mind.
Yeah.
Well, debate's over, dude. Like,
and to some degree, I will say, I actually said this at the time, David Silverman's clearly never had mental illness, because he says, if a God presented himself to me, I would believe in God. And I'm like, I wouldn't. Still wouldn't, because I've been crazy.
Yeah.
So like, I think that's, you know, but obviously
that's why my answer is, if God presented himself to everybody at once, and everybody had exactly the same experience.
It's, you know, it's speaking of like the kind of celebrity atheist talking heads, or the people that they had, the personalities they had, hello and welcome, new soft, friendly Dawkins.
Oh, yeah. I was all right with that, though.
He was... He can be a real jackass.
He can in his writing and in his tweeting and a lot of stuff like that. Most of the interviews that I've seen with him, he's pretty...
British.
He's pretty...
He can't be too rude.
I think a good parallel is PZ Myers, who... his blog is fiery as fuck.
We disagree a lot of times on his blog, on certain issues.
But if you talk with him in person, he's a pretty soft-spoken... I mean, you can still disagree with him.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great example, looking at Richard Dawkins and going, oh, he's not.
Yeah.
He's not such a big old jackass. It's like, well, you know, he could still be a big old jackass. Yes.
So there was something that I found particularly interesting on this in this episode, which was the preacher, the current existing preacher who was an atheist,
yeah. Yeah.
And who was all shrouded and face covered and who was black too, if you noticed his hands and stuff, which I found interesting because you know that's not what you expect usually
he was tall, he was black, he was bald, yeah. And he's a preacher.
But
I mean, I think that kind of,
but
how much anonymity.
What I found interesting, what he had to say didn't surprise me, except that he's been keeping a journal for the last 15 years. He's been an atheist, or yeah. at least an agnostic, for 15 yeah. years, and he's stayed in the pulpit because he needs the money for his family. And he also feels a debt to the community, and he has all this guilt, and he's written this journal and all these letters, which made me think of like St. Augustine or like Paul. I mean, these Christian heroes who wrote letters about their feelings about Christ when they couldn't talk about it openly. Letters to the Romans, you know, and things like that from the Bible. So the allegory or the parallels maybe is really interesting. But I then thought, God, what if this CNN special leads to a witch hunt among Christian communities,
are there
secret atheists among us? Because they pointed out this website where they said 600 members of the clergy are on this website.
The Clergy Project?
Something like that, who are on this website who don't believe in God anymore. So now I have this image of like all these like fundies being like, we got to root out the atheists from our, you know, and like making them take Voight-Kampff tests to find out if they believe.
It is a specific group that is set up to help clergy transition from being clergy to being an atheist.
Your heart's in the right place and you just don't believe in it anymore.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, Molly, before we recorded the last episode. The one guy who basically creates the church of atheism,
he's a Georgian preacher.
He's a Georgian preacher, but he doesn't believe in God anymore, he creates an atheist church.
Can I get a Darwin?
The current priest guy said two things that, before I moved on to the other guy you're talking about, Tim, said two things that really wrong for me that I loved. He said, if there is a God, he hasn't lived up to his reputation.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then he said, I just can't do it. We could feed them for what we spend on church buildings. We could feed them all forever.
Indefinitely. Yeah. And that was like, why he had a problem with it.
Like, I know how much we spend on stained glass. It makes me sick.
He specifically said, how much do we spend on stained glass? How much do we spend on buildings and property rental? Like, what is all of that could be feeding people. I just can't do it. And
just posted, not just, it's going to be weeks ago by the time this goes up, but he just posted something on our Facebook page.
Molly posted that.
Molly just posted that, and it was the thing where it's like,
it's two warehouses.
Fill a warehouse with prayers, fill a warehouse with stuff. Send refugees to both warehouses and see which
one
they
pick. Let them pick. Yep. Let them choose. And of course, the one filled with prayers is empty. So
It's
allegory.
You know what it is? It's a nicer version of shit in one hand, wish in the other, and see which fills up faster.
Except for like if shit was desirable commodity. Yeah.
This shit's like fresh water.
Like you're in a German porn. They just want it so bad.
Gasoline
they want
and generators and stuff like that. the preacher, and I mean, I know
he's the atheist
preacher.
Can I get a Darwin?
Can I get a Darwin?
You know, that's kind of obnoxious, and yet what I enjoyed about it, what I liked about it, and what made me feel good for him is, here is somebody who had found something that he was really good at.
You know,
he was good at being a preacher, and suddenly he didn't have his faith anymore, and he's found a way to do what he was good at, something that gave him tremendous joy, but to do it in a way that is what he believes in.
Molly pointed out during that part, Tim, that when I kind of said a similar thing, she's like, yeah, but there's that collection plate.
There was a collection plate, and it went around, and he's still collecting money for his church of atheism.
Sure, you got
Church
pay
of
for
the a, Universe.
You got to pay for the space.
I'm just saying that, like, any objection you can raise over religion fundraising.
Yeah.
You can raise over atheist church fundraising. I mean, it's not organized. It's not on the same level. It's not.
No, it's not. But at the same time, that was my first thought was, and there's the collection plate. And
I don't do his books. I don't know where that money goes.
That's true.
Maybe it's, you know, they rent a cheap space and it mostly goes to charity.
Maybe he's upfront about it being for him personally.
Yep.
Maybe it's just the same as Die Laughing and he's saying this is where it goes and people give him their money and that's fine.
Sure.
But it was hard for me. I think a big part for me too is having grown up and having been a young, impressionable child in the time of Jimmy Swaggart and Jim and the Bakers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, when I hear someone talking like this, when I hear someone preaching, when I hear someone with the repetition, and they're saying the universe wants you here. The universe, it wants you to be happy. The universe has, and it's like, to me, I'm like, all I hear is snake oil. All I hear is con man. And my immediate hackles go up and I think these people are being taken advantage of. And it doesn't matter that he's replacing God with universe and he's replacing Jesus with science and he's saying Darwin instead of amen. And all I think is, but do they need this or do they just think they do? And is this taking the place of something that could be better for them? So for me, and I know it's probably just a visceral reaction to the cadence, honest to God, but it just sounded like a fucking revival tent to me, and that makes my skin crawl automatically.
Yeah, although I think from the perspective of the documentary,
mm-hmm.
what it does is it shows to people who are Christians, people who are not atheists, it's
yes.
like it's another example of how atheists are not all what you think.
Atheists, okay. They're just like
sure.
us.
Yeah, right.
They go to church.
They go to church.
They donate money.
They say, can I get a Darwin? And they have their collection
yeah,
plate.
Yeah, yet at the same time, CNN uses incredibly loaded phrases when they talked about the kid, saying that, like, you know, Daniel living his life of rebellion against God.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't consider my life a life of rebellion against God. My life is a life...
And there's no God in it.
God is pretty irrelevant to my life. I'm not like, it sounds like I'm a militant, like, war campaign against God.
Or like you're an angry at God atheist.
That's really what it sounds like.
And they certainly, I think, they make some interesting choices with when he's doing the Ask an Atheist Day.
Yes.
Almost everything they show is the people talking to him. And almost none of what they show is his responses to what they have to say. And that, I don't even think that's intentional. I don't think they're trying to be anti-atheist when they do that. I think it's just kind of dealing with the mentality that we have. We are a Christian society, mostly. And so the Christians...
Society, not country. And that's important, but yes.
And so the Christians get a little extra time because they feel like, well, we're doing this thing about atheists, but we don't want to leave the Christians out.
Yeah.
Well, sure. And that they shouldn't, because if they left them out completely, they would alienate the people they're trying to reach. And I get that. I do.
I think they show some fundamental misunderstandings about what atheism is, because they have that little bit at the beginning where they're like, atheist, agnostic,
nuns.
You know, and they're
skeptic,
basically saying,
humanist,
all of these
agnostic, free thinker.
Are all of these things atheism? No.
And even David Silverman betrayed us. He was like, I think they all share a common. And I'm like, shut your fucking mouth, Silverman. No, they don't. Like,
there are plenty of people who are nuns who wouldn't call themselves atheists or agnostics. Yeah. They might say, I believe in God, but I just don't believe any of these gods.
Or I don't care. I don't think about it. It doesn't matter to me.
And agnostics and atheists are not the same, as we discussed with Bill just last week.
Yes.
Was it Dawkins that said, he threw out a statistic that was like 59% of people who are raised Christian will leave or become non-believers. Of people born today, the current rate of 59%...
Maybe that was of millennials.
Millennials,
yeah. But
it's not like people alive, but it's like this newest generation.
It's the kids, basically. It's people who are born in this generation, which is what it's not going to be millennials because you're a millennial.
Right.
It's whatever.
Technically,
you're a millennial. Yeah. It's whatever. If we were having kids, it's what our kids would be. It's Alex and Devin's generation.
Right. And my
which
kids
they don't.
Are
they haven't named it yet. They haven't named it yet. But no, it's just like it's similar to the idea that Gender fluidity and sexuality fluidity is more common among that generation. Kids that are 13, 14, 15, even a little older. We were watching King of the Nerds, and they these 18 to 22 year olds are all sitting around a table just bantering about how they're, oh, I'm 80% guys, 20% women. Oh, I'm straight bisexual. Oh, I only like women, but I don't care. You know, and they're just all so comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And that would never, if you think about like the real world, like the first few seasons of that where there was a gay guy and everyone was losing their shit.
Yeah.
So I think this idea of non-belief, it doesn't matter to me, I'm an atheist, I'm a nothing, my parents didn't have religion, is going to be more popular.
When they're talking to Silverman, he says, the internet.
Yep. Yeah.
Because these are the people that are on the internet, these are the people seeing the ideas, evaluating the ideas, they can read everything. And I think this is one of the many reasons why the internet and net neutrality and the free speech on the internet, I feel, is such an important issue to me, because anyone from any economic background or racial background, religious background, whatever, can get to anything out
all
there
the
and make up their own minds, and they can it's all there, and everyone gets a mouthpiece.
If you have a fundy family that is refusing to let you learn and beats you and tells you Bible verses, locks, like Carrie style, locks you in a closet, if you go to public school, there's the internet, and you can get on it. You know, if you're poor, you go to public school and there's the internet.
Yep.
If you're rich and your family tells you, you know, whatever else, you can, and it goes both ways.
Yep.
If you came from a super wealthy atheist family and you were like, I feel like my life is lacking something, you could find God on the internet and that could help you it goes both ways, but the statistics are saying that people tend to not. And that's, I think, really telling.
The internet pulls people towards atheism because when you start going down the rabbit hole of questioning, and there's all these people talking about religion and talking about really logical, reasonable, asking really logical, reasonable questions that religion can't answer.
Yeah.
And I think that Silverman's point there is really well taken. I think 20 years from now, this documentary, it's not even fair to really call it a documentary.
This special report.
Yeah.
I think 20 years from now, people would watch and just be like, well, there's nothing shocking about any of this.
Right. But I bet there were a lot of very shocked people.
Sure.
I mean, I tried to imagine how it must have felt for the people who sympathized with that kid's parents, who were sitting there going, my God, and turning to their kids as they watch it together and being like, if you were an atheist, I don't know what, it would break my heart. Like, it would kill me to their children, you know? I mean, there's people out there who watched it, I'm sure, as a family.
Sure.
To see the enemy or whatever. And first of all, just a comedic thing, I have to tell you, because I am a comedian. As we were watching it, they kept saying, like, but she's not a Christian. She's an atheist. And I'm like, this show needs more musical stings. Like, dun, dun, dun.
Wrote that in our notes.
But then, there was a woman who is now she's like David Silverman's second in command, I guess, for the American Atheists.
She's someone within that organization,
and she was raised Jewish, and her grandparents, all four of her grandparents, survived Auschwitz.
Yeah, or
something like that.
Holocaust survivors.
The quote that I think stuck with me the most was that she was raised culturally Jewish, but really without religion, because as her grandparents told her, God did not survive Auschwitz.
Yeah, that's like...
That, to me, is like...
Whoa.
No, it's in that... If there's anything that kills the there's no atheists in foxholes argument, it's the... I mean, oh, yeah, there are. Because when you're in Auschwitz, how could you be there? It's like Mark Lazarchik, when his daughter got cancer.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, then there's not a God. Because if there's a God, that God gave my daughter cancer. So there's not a God. I can't believe in that.
Atheists in foxholes. What the nice thing about that Ask an Atheist Day is they had a couple of guys there in fatigue.
I saw that.
They were clearly in the ROTC, and it's like there's a couple of atheists in foxholes.
Yep.
Well, maybe not yet, but someday these guys are going to be in foxholes. And I actually liked that they had those guys there in their fatigue.
Yeah.
Well, for this, on camera, very visible.
Yeah. So to wrap, at the end, they finally covered what I would like to, I would call our atheists, the, maybe you'll say militant atheists, the strong, outspoken atheists, and they finally started talking about David Silverman more, and like people who actually disagree, and they, and this,
his appearance on Bill O'Reilly.
This made me so mad, yeah. So when they showed a clip from when David Silverman was on Bill O'Reilly, and they said, David Silverman's fiery approach has gotten him in trouble before. And they showed this clip where Bill O'Reilly says, but you're a fascist. And David Silverman loses his shit. And yeah, is like, yeah. Well, a fascist? You call me a, how dare you, sir? You
know, like, get him in trouble. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just wrote like, fuck you. He calls him a fascist. And for defending himself, now he's the fiery approach.
Yeah.
He's the asshole. And that's the, we've had this argument so many times. I'm the asshole atheist because I dare to say.
Because I dare to get pissed off when you call me a fascist.
Yeah. And when he said, so the one thing they were like, so how is it? This is hard. I mean, God bless America. Everyone says that. And David Silverman goes, well, not everyone. And it was just like, thank you, yeah, so my yeah. God. I mean, God bless you. I mean, God bless America. God save the troops. You know, God, all this. And it's like, and they never even mentioned, I thought they were going to say, maybe he did before and they cut it out, but they didn't even mention how In God We Trust wasn't even on our money until the Red Scare.
About that, yeah.
Yeah.
Like you could tell, I think he was getting into it and they edited it out.
Yeah. Well, you know, they there was room for a lot more.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's only an hour long.
Shit got real at the end and I was glad they included it at all. They could have not. And even though they went back to the preacher dude and some other people being like, well, there's different kinds of atheists and I guess he's bad cop and I'm good cop. And it's like, no. That's not because you're not cop.
No,
like, you're not a cop. You're a mall security guard. You're preaching to your people.
Yeah.
He is a cop. Like, I'm sorry. You're not. It's
yeah.
It was better than overall. I think it was better than
you expected.
Well, because we watched it like a week late.
Yeah, you know, yeah, we watched it a little while ago.
I saw other people's reactions online, like the Minnesota Atheists or the Twin Cities Atheists Facebook group and stuff like that. And people were talking about it and saying, like, oh my God, it was so bad, or like, oh, it was so awful, or such a misrepresentation.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, if you consider the fact that their audience wasn't atheists, it really wasn't that bad.
No,
it wasn't great.
There certainly was a step forward, some misrepresentation in there, but I think, on the balance, it was a positive.
Do you think it was a step forward?
Sure.
Or potentially, like,
because I think, like I said at the beginning, I think it really showed, it set out to show, or I felt like it set out to show, atheists are just like all the other people you know.
It's, yeah. What's the, in the trashy magazines, Molly, what's the...
Stars, they're just like us. They eat cotton candy. They get manicures. They buy magazines.
Yeah, in every, like, trashy celebrity gossip magazine, there's always, like, here's stars walking their dog and drinking coffee, and it's called.
I knew that.
It's called.
I could be a celebrity because I walk my dog too.
They're just like us. It's humanizing, and I think the overall effect of this is potentially humanizing.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely portray the kid and his parents as a very sympathetic
kid. Yeah.
His parents, I think, to most eyes,
the
look
dad,
awful.
Oh,
the
yeah.
dad.
The dad, especially.
What was it I said? I said, based on the way his parents reacted, I think that his mom has never struggled and has always just loved God. And to her, it's like, well, God calls to some, and some people come to Christ and others don't. And I think the dad has had struggles in the past and has had doubts and
could
maybe
be.
Has had temptations. And to him, because he was reacting in that way of, well, fuck you. How come you get to just not be this? How come you get to just be whatever? Like, and he seemed so emotionally angry over it
that
it was different to me.
The dad said something that I just, it felt so ironic coming from him. But he said, bad is subjective, wrong is not.
Yeah.
And, like, I love that sentiment. Like, bad is subjective.
Oh, no,
subjective.
That was one of the guys at the Ask an Atheist.
That was one of the guys at the Ask. You're
was
right.
It?
Yeah,
you're right.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But still,
like, bad is subjective. Okay, sure.
Sure,
bad,
we agree.
Good and bad, that's subjective.
Wrong
is not. Yep, something is that's factually incorrect is wrong, and that's not subjective.
But he means morally.
But he means morally.
Yep.
And, like, it just... that he could say something that he feels supports his beliefs.
Yeah.
And I think it supports my non-belief.
Yeah.
Is funny. It's the subjectivity of words.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did say at one point, because we were discussing how, you know, there's different waves of atheism. There's, you know, and how these, because they were saying in the show, these younger, newer atheists are kinder and a little gentler and a little more accepting, as opposed to the Richard Dawkins and the David Silvermans. And at a point when we had paused it, I said, it's funny, every civil rights movement, if you look at it, has that. There's, we're currently in what, fifth wave feminism? And if you look at the different waves of feminism, if you start with the, you know, when they were the teetotalers fighting for suffrage, and then moving on to like the Gloria Steinems and the 50s and 60s, and then the 80s and the different waves of feminism, the Black Civil Rights Movement, the original sit-ins, and then moving on to Black Power, and then moving on to other things, and with gay rights, the older men who were fighting for gay rights in the 80s when it was all about like AIDS awareness and like we have to be fucking Stonewall militant and Stonewall and Harvey Milk.
Right.
And then it became like, whatever, like partying and it's fine and you guys are being dumb and like, and it's similar. And I think every civil rights movement has the beginning stone-hearted strong and then the guys, you guys are way too serious. We need to win them over with love. Well, and then there's always a third of like, nope, that, nope, that didn't work. Bring it back, bring it back.
It's D-Day, man. I mean, when you're arriving on that beach, there's little room for compromise to establish yourself and be accepted and acknowledged.
Yeah.
And from that point, then you compromise, I feel.
And it's interesting to see where it's going to go. It's interesting to see where from these... CNN called them gentler atheists. What were their kids be like? Will their kids be more militant? Were their kids be even? I mean, it's a changing climate.
I still question how gentle they are. But anyway,
All right, so we're moving on to five questions. And in case you haven't heard me talk enough, I'm going to read these five questions. So these come from JF Gagné. And he says, love the show. Your episode on blasphemy was really interesting. In Quebec, the vast majority of swear words are blasphemous. We use almost every word related to the Catholic Church, slang them and string them together to express the range of meanings fuck has. And he says, oh, we use fuck too.
Well, good.
And then there's fuck. Right,
I'm glad the Quebecois are becoming super creative with their swear words. Love the word Quebecois. All right, question number one, Nick.
What's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6.
That's all it says.
Sure.
I don't think that needs explanation.
How to Train Your Robot. It's
Oscar
a great movie.
Winner, Big Hero 6.
How to Train Your Robot.
I liked the San Fran Okio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that mashup of Tokyo.
It makes sense.
It's like Blade Runner, but like lighthearted and there's sun and it's not always raining.
If there was going to be a Chinese American like town blend and then like, or
I wouldn't
like
even
Japanese,
specifically
like,
say Chinese, but definitely
Asian
multiple Asian cultures.
It would be California. I mean,
sure. I mean, that's, you know.
Anyway, good choice.
I loved it. Even though the sad dog short at the beginning, and we saw this movie maybe 2 weeks after Ayn died, and it was rough, but it was good. It's heartfelt.
That
and
was like a tearjerker for even for people
who didn't just have a dog die.
Yeah.
it was very good. Question
number two. What is your favorite atheist character?
Malcolm Reynolds is way up there. But to bring a new one, I'd say the Red Knight from Miles Cameron's novel of the same name and its sequel. The story takes place in a fantasy world mirroring Earth's 14th century history, including a similar background with the Catholic Church and Jesus, same historical characters such as Socrates and the like, but where the Middle Ages happened in a North American context. Kinda. The maps are different.
Yeah.
He is hired by a bunch of nuns to protect them from a flood of monsters, and he's open about this his atheism. His attitude is, quote, there is no God, and if he exists, he can go fuck himself.
Well, all right.
I'm going to read that.
Yeah.
The Red Knight from Miles Cameron.
Fantasy.
Right. Sounds great.
That.
Yeah.
Fantasy/Cameron. Like alternate.
I love you, Chronic.
Fictional fiction.
I love you, Chronic stuff.
Question number three, what is your geekiest hobby?
Aside from Pathfinder and other RPGs, I study and practice the martial arts from the early 15th to 17th century Italy.
Ooh.
That's awesome.
I don't even
I read fighting manuals written then and try to figure them out. Our school focuses on the early 15th century fighting, wrestling, dagger, longsword, and spear, but I also study the 16th century Bolognese fighting system. I practiced some rapier combat and dabbled in German stuff. Tangentially, I started doing some medieval reenactment.
Molly also dabbled in some German stuff. Yeah. That was in college.
German stuff in college.
No, that's awesome. If you ever come to Minnesota, you should come to the Renaissance Festival. There's a lot of fucking like combat nerds who study that stuff. Yeah, they would love to talk to you.
Okay, question number 4. What's your favorite sandwich?
Generally, hamburgers on sesame seed bun with anything and everything I can find. But my very favorite is Montreal-style smoked meat. There are a few good places in the Ottawa-Gatineau region to get good smoked meat, but when I go to Montreal, I always try to go to Schwartz Hebrew Delicatessen, where they smoke their meat for 11 days in the same smoke room they've been using for 60 or 70 years.
Oh, wow.
That's the medium-fat smoked and spiced meat on rye with mustard and a pickle on the side.
That sounds perfect.
Holy shit, that sounds incredible.
I'd do that.
70 years of a smoke room.
Let's go to Montreal, guys.
Oh, my God. All right, I'm on it.
Question number 5. What's the stupidest thing anyone has ever said about your atheism?
Other than a few jokes here and there, very little. Once when I was going to a friend's cottage a few years ago, I was trashing religion, and he turned to me and asked, "Are you an atheist?" I said, "Yes." There was a pause. He said, "So, do you believe in marriage?" I had to explain that was quite a non sequitur.
Do I believe that it exists?
Yeah. Signed, Jean-François Gagnier.
Jean-François!
And then, okay, I don't speak French. Should I try to read the French quote that's at the end of his signature?
Oh, please, just butcher it before I swear.
Et premièrement, vous qui êtes le don de toi, champion, appelé au champ de bataille, soit en chance d'un chemin, soit attendant ou offendant, vous devez sous ton sentir en votre conscience que votre cœur est bon et juste. I would imagine it means something about like at first, and then there's something about the two champions appear to be battle and something else. At the end is something about his good justice. Anyway, it's anonymous, anonyme, from something Le Jeu de la Hache, circa 1450.
Jean-François, we
apologize.
Then
he says, "For small creatures such as we, the vastness is bearable only through love." Carl Sagan.
So it's funny. I bet you reading that will cause him to cringe as much as him reading that in a Quebec accent would cause someone from France to
cringe. Ah! So, Quebecois needling.
you also would make them cringe.
Zut
alors! All right.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have your answers to our 5 questions, please send them to 5questions@geeksthoutgod.com. As always, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, rate us on iTunes. If you watch the CNN special, we'd love to hear what you think, whether on our website posting or on Facebook or on Twitter. We always want to hear you guys' opinions. It's really great.
I'll post a YouTube link too, because I found it on YouTube, so you can watch it.
Yeah. Fuck the system. So just so you guys know, something that's coming up kind of soon when this goes up is Jenny Bandage and the Unpronounceable Acronym. It's a Fearless Comedy production. Tim wrote it.
I did.
Friend of the show, Andy Wilkins, is directing.
Yep.
We have many friends of the show, Matt Alex is in the show.
Yeah.
You guys, you got to go see it. I proofread it and helped as a beta reader. It's super goddamn funny. Shut up, Tim. Don't take this to your head. But no, really, it's really good. And you should come see it. It's going to be at the Black Forest Inn. We'll post dates. It's great for you guys to support us.
It's going to be opening in about a month from when this goes up. So we'll talk about it some more.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you all, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
She's not. She's an atheist.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
You're being oppressed. You can't dress like that. That's oppression.